Tine Zulu is an investment specialist at 91's fixed income team. Is there any other way, Tine, than money? I look at this and, you know, there's, you can't wish South Africa's problems away. You have to spend them away. Is there any other way?
Hi, Bruce. Good evening. And thanks for having me on your show. Other than money, I think, yes, there are ways. I think the private sector and government can work together to, you know, alleviate the problems that have come with an inadequate investment in our infrastructure in the country.
Okay, so how do we begin to address it? Is there another way than private money? I think it's, you know, I don't know where else we get money from.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that the case for using private debt, more specifically as an investment instrument through pension funds, is very strong. The case is very strong. Just because, firstly, infrastructure by its nature is quite capital intensive, as you rightly put it. We need a lot of money to fix our ailing infrastructure. And because it's quite capital intensive, it also has long expected useful life. If you look at a toll road, for example, I mean, the N3, for example, has been there before I was even born. So these features offer a really good support for long-term debt, a very strong case for long-term debt, as well as a stable business risk profile. And this can provide a really good yield and even inflation protection in some instances for pension funds.
Okay, so you, let's say, for example, you manage my pension fund. My pension fund then takes some of the money that I save monthly and it puts it into Anglo-American and British American Tobacco and Richemont, and some into a toll road and some into a sewerage plant and some into, I don't know, potholes, fixing potholes in the roads. Hold on a second. Isn't that called prescribed assets, something that the entire investment industry and anybody sensible railed against 2 years ago when the ANC was proposing prescribed assets as a solution to the problem? Or is there a subtle difference here?
There's a subtle difference. I think what you are sort of referring to is the Pension Funds Act, if I'm not mistaken. And within that Pension Funds Act, there's an allocation for infrastructure now that has been revised to up to 45%. So within, you know, within the Pension Funds Act, there's a cap there that allows for pension funds to invest in infrastructure up to 45%.
Now, that would make a lot of people very uncomfortable, because we look at the state of public infrastructure, we look at the way in which it's been run, we look in the way in which it's been mismanaged, we look at the corruption within that sector, and we say, you want to take 45% of my pension money and put it into that environment? I'm sorry, but that doesn't seem reasonable. What sort of assurances do money managers like yourself, because you do the stuff all the time, I mean, you're investing in all kinds of projects all over the place all the time, you need certain assurances, they can't be guarantees, but assurances that this money is not going to go the way of public money in the last decade and a half.
Yes, absolutely. We are on the same page as you, Bruce. But I think, you know, by using certain instruments within private debt, you can mitigate and you can manage the risk that comes with investing in infrastructure assets, as you rightly put it. And I'll give you a few examples. The first tool that you can use is by using leverage. So you don't want to put too much debt such that the assets generate revenues that are not adequate enough to pay that debt. So you don't want to over-gear that asset. Secondly, you can use other structuring mechanisms, like putting together adequate security so that in the event of a default or an all falls down scenario, you can exercise security to repay the loan. You can also incorporate covenants such as distribution lockups as well as cash reserves, which basically means that you know, the owners of these projects aren't allowed to pay themselves dividends before loans are paid. So that's where the case for private debt infrastructure investments becomes really, really strong. So what I'm saying is you can use various mechanisms and really get into the weeds of each infrastructure investment that you make and to understand the risk adequately before you actually deploy funds.
Who gets the money? I mean, you've got to be feeling very brave to be willing to buy an Eskom bond at the moment, for example, because we've seen the way in which Eskom has been defrauded, how it's been mismanaged for a long period of time, the corruption internally, the criminal syndicates working within it. You want me to give more money to the guys who have been running it into the ground for the last 15 years? Surely we need an overhaul, therefore. If I'm going to give you money, I want to know that it's going to be better managed than it was previously. How do we guarantee that projects, we don't just throw good money after bad?
Absolutely. I agree with you. That's a very key concern. I think if you look at a capital, in the capital structure, there's debt and then there's equity. Debt always, it gets repaid first. And you'll find that in the typical financing structure of an infrastructure project, you have between 70 to 90% of that financing structure being debt. And so you can use your position to influence and to incentivize, you know, the holders or the sponsors or people who run those projects, the boards of Eskom, to operate in a sustainable and impactful manner.
It's, yeah. I mean, again, in an ideal world, absolutely. But we've seen the process corrupted to such a point.
Yeah.
Is there confidence within the debt markets, confidence between you and your colleagues, that actually we can pull this one off? Because if we can, and you can get a decent, sustainable return for investors, because you want your pension fund to be growing at a decent and sustainable rate in commensurate with the risk that you're prepared to take, do we truly believe we're at a point where we can start doing this?
I think, Bruce, you know, you raise very valid points and you ask very difficult questions.
I'm sorry, but they're kind of the important ones, because this is our money after all. And we've looked after ourselves, and government hasn't looked after the money we've given them in taxes. And now we want to give them some of our savings money too. It's beginning to feel a little bit uncomfortable.
I think, you know, if you look at the, you know, the infrastructure as, segment as a whole, I think there's different sectors that you can put pension fund money into. It doesn't necessarily have to be Eskom itself. You know, the government has is reforming policy and is changing regulations to incentivize and to encourage and maybe to a certain extent protect private or pension funds when they invest in infrastructure. I mean, I'll give you an example. The generation cap, for example, for private generation cap for electricity has been lifted in totality, actually. So, you know, you can invest in the generation aspect of the energy sector in South Africa without necessarily being exposed to Eskom. So there's different pockets of the infrastructure segment that you can actually invest in. It doesn't necessarily have to be Eskom itself.
Exactly right. And so that then takes the burden off Eskom. Eskom no longer then needs to worry about generation of all of this electricity. It can have a little bit of leeway to fix broken power stations.
Exactly.
And it can get the transmission network working. So you have different parts of South Africa's very complex infrastructure being managed by different areas of expertise. And where the money is needed right now, frankly, is in generation. So private sector can give that money, well, you know, invest that money for a return. But at the same time, we end up then, and I have somebody shouting at me for being negative on this, but I'm just trying to be balanced. we invest in the sexy projects. Nobody wants to invest in the sewerage plant in Pits onder Water or somewhere that has got, you know, very little municipal funding, got, you know, hasn't got a great council and all that sort of stuff. So we can, there are pockets of excellence where you can invest for a sustainable future, but you can't solve all of the country's problems this way. Or is this a model that can be stretched further than just the sexy projects?
I think it can be, the model can be replicated to other segments of infrastructure, like the water example that you just gave. I think the private-public partnerships model is a very effective model that encourages, incentivizes the private sector to get involved. So I think you can stretch it out to different other segments of the infrastructure sector across the country, you know, and water is definitely one of them. The port is also another, and we can also take lessons. 91 has been investing on the African continent since for a very long time, for many years. So there's many lessons that can be learned from you know, global best practice and implement them in South Africa.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But again, the ideological divide here is quite interesting because, as you say, policy is changing. The mechanisms are being made available for us to do this. Now, there'll be union pushback. There will be pushback from political entities that like to look for fight. But ultimately, I don't know if we've got a choice. This is a route we've got to make work for all of us.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we can't just rely on the government to fix everything and to fund all the infrastructure. Yes, it's been dominated historically by the government, but I think it's definitely time for the private sector and for pension funds to also play a more meaningful role in, you know, funding our infrastructure, because it's an absolutely dire need.
Sina, thank you very much. Sina Zulu is the investment specialist at 91's fixed income team. Your pension money being used to help fix the country. And it may feel uncomfortable, but you've got professionals in place whose job it is to make sure that this money is invested sustainably for returns that protect you from the sort of graft that we've seen. I think it's right. I think it's the only way in which it's actually going to work.